Lord, we adore you. There is none like you. Jesus, in the storms of life, in the whirlwind situations that we face, in the world, the ridiculous world that revolves around us, Jesus, be the center. God, we thank you that no matter what is happening, that you still speak to us through your word and by your spirit. Today, God, we ask of only one thing. Feed us till we want no more. God, we honor you. God, we love you. We thank you for this place called Tabernacle that you allow us to worship together and allow us to study and learn of you even more. Sit me down and speak to your people as never before, because we love you and we need you, God. God, the song says, we've searched all over the world and found that there is nobody like our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter, the 1st through the 5th verse. I'm reading from the NRSV version, and it reads like this. Thus saith the Lord, go down to the house of the king of Judah and speak there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, O king of Judah, sitting on the throne of David. You and your servants and your people who enter these gates. Thus saith the Lord, act with justice and righteousness, and deliver from the hand of the oppressor anyone who has been robbed. And do no wrong or violence to the alien, the orphan, and the widow, or shed innocent blood in this place. For if you will indeed obey this word, then through the gates of this house shall enter kings who sit on the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their servants and their people. But if you do not heed these words, I swear by myself, says the Lord. Now that's deep. That this house shall become a desolation. Drop down to verse 11. Verse 11 says, for thus says the Lord concerning Shalom, son of King Josiah of Judah, who succeeded his father Josiah, and who went away from this place. He shall return here no more, but in the place where they have carried him captive, he shall die, and he shall never see this land again. Woe to him who builds his house upon unrighteousness and his upper rooms by injustice, who make his neighbors work for nothing and does not give them their wages, who says, I will build myself a spacious house with large upper rooms, and who cuts out windows for it, paneling it with cedar and painting it with vermilion. Are you a king because you compete in cedar? Did not your father eat and drink and do justice and righteousness? Then it was well with him. He judged the cause of the poor and needy. Then it was well. Is not this to know me, says the Lord? But your eyes and heart are only on your dishonest gain, for shedding innocent blood, and for practicing oppression and violence. This is the word of the Lord. Now let's everybody real quick just take a deep sigh, because that was heavy. Whew. All right. Here in Jeremiah 21 is the second half, so to speak, of a conversation that is started between Jeremiah and Pashur, who is one of the men who was sent to Jeremiah by King Zedekiah. So let's tell you a little story. Zedekiah is now the king because three kings ago, his his father, Josiah, was king. And Josiah decided that in the middle of this war between Egypt and Assyria that had absolutely really nothing to do with him, he decides that he is going to take the side of Assyria and stopping Egypt from taking over the land in between Egypt and Assyria. So on their way to there, Josiah decides that he and Judah are going to be block the way in the place called the Valley of Megiddo. This is the and in the process of them, Pharaoh Necho, who is over Egypt, he beats them. He beats them and he beats them badly. So bad to the point where Josiah's men take him and bring him back and bury him in his homeland. After this happens, the people of Judah decides that they're going to make Shallum, who is the fourth son of Josiah, the king of Judah. Well, the problem is Shallum was not a good man. He was not a man, whereas Josiah encouraged the people to obey the commands of the Lord. He encouraged the people to serve the Lord. He encouraged the people to love God. Shallum didn't do that. Shallum was okay with idolatry. He was okay with letting the people do whatever what they want. He was a crafty, the Bible says, he was a crafty man who probably got put into power because he was able to politically position himself properly, even though he was an evil person. Shallum, let me back up, Necho, who is the Pharaoh of Egypt, finds out that Shallum is the king and he doesn't like it. So he comes and he takes captive Shallum and brings him back to Egypt. And in this process, he puts another king, Jehoiakim, on the throne, who is the other brother, who is his brother, and says, "Now you're going to serve as the king of Judah." So now he sits on the throne. And he's another king who does not do what Josiah did. He doesn't encourage the people to love God and to serve God. He doesn't do justice by the poor and the needy. He doesn't take care of the widow. He allows all kind of idolatry to happen. And so what happens is now he gets deposed from the throne, and now Zedekiah is on the throne. Somebody say that's a whole lot. And so now Zedekiah is on the throne, and Zedekiah recognizes that, wait a second, we're in trouble. Jerusalem, which is in the southern region, is surrounded by enemies. And so he sends Pashur to Jeremiah to say, I'm going to use my words, Jeremiah, that God dude who was helping us before, can you holler at him and tell him to come and help us? Because we're in trouble and I don't see any way out of this. So can you tell him to help us out? Can you tell him to, you know, like my grandparents and my great grandparents gave me this story about this God who took us out of Egypt and who in the process of being surrounded by Pharaoh and with the Red Sea in front of us splits the sea and let them walk through on dry ground. Can you holler at him and tell him to come and help us? You know, that God who had us walk around that wall called Jericho and make a noise and the wall come tumbling down. Can you talk to him and tell that God to come and help us? Because right now we're in trouble. Assyria is about to take us over. And oh, and by the way, now Nebuchadnezzar is trying to come in and take us. And we don't know what to do. We're outnumbered. We don't have the ability to fight them off. Can you holler at your boy for me, please? And Jeremiah says this. Jeremiah tells them, listen, thus saith the Lord. Let me help you out with something. God is a gracious and loving and merciful and wonderful God. Can we agree with that? But it is inconsistent and rather arrogant of us to believe that a God who loves us, the Bible calls it, Dr. Reed, the pathos of God, that God loves us so much that he is okay with us being in covenant relationship with him and not doing our part in the relationship. God ain't okay with that. Like, I mean, let's be honest. How many of us, raise your hand, if you would be okay with being married to someone who consistently cheats on you, who in your face, when you say, does the opposite thing that you want, who spits in your face, who spends all your money, who refuses to acknowledge your presence, who won't even love you real good, like we would have broke up with them a long time ago, but yet and still, year after year and season after season, Judah is doing this to God, and now Zedekiah is like, hey, help us out, and God's like, I ain't got nothing for you. I got nothing for you. And it's not because I don't love you. It's because you don't really love me. And I can't continue to allow you to just spit in my face and do this because I love you so much and I desire to be so close to you that I just gotta, y'all know how it is sometimes when you have kids, you just gotta sometimes just say, I'm gonna take my hands and let the world do what the world is gonna do to them. Let me get to the text. I don't want to get too far. The first thing I need us to understand here is that God's judgment, that this judgment that God is giving to Judah comes or will come, because it hasn't come yet, to Judah because Judah has chosen to walk away from God. And I need to point that out because a lot of times some of us feel like God is walking away from us when the reality is it is us who in most times have chosen to walk away from God. I know you don't want to say amen to that, but it's the reality. I'll say amen to that. If you can't say amen, say ouch. Judah has decided that it doesn't want to follow what God is saying. It's saying we want to do our own thing. We want to do what everybody else is doing. We want to do what the Assyrians is doing. Oh, wait a second. Over there, I like what that's going. Let me do that even though it's contrary to what God is saying. So judgment from God comes because Judah has chosen to walk away from the covenant relationship that God has with them, even after God has given them mercy, God has given them grace, God has given them time, and God has sent them prophet to tell them, this direction that you are going in is not my direction. So Jeremiah in this text is prophesying a judgment to Zedekiah because Zedekiah is the king. Now let me tell you something. This is important because in the biblical text, the Old Testament kings are a representative to the world of how God wants his people treated. And so anytime the king doesn't act right, God puts judgment on the king because God is saying, I don't want to be represented like that. Y'all missed that. Anytime, kings and queens, we don't represent God the way that God desires to be represented, and we laugh in the face of God. We spit at the commandments of God. We tell God, I'm going to do what I want to do, regardless of what you say do, that we've got to expect that even though God gives us mercy, and God is a gracious God, and God gives us time, that at some point, God's judgment is going to come, because God is not going to be represented in a way that he doesn't like. I know we don't want to hear that, but say amen anyway. Here is another thing that we've got to recognize is that in this passage, Judah is being judged because Judah has decided that it doesn't want to see all of humanity flourish. Judah is responsible for the flourishing of others and has decided that we don't care if everybody flourishes. As a king, Zedekiah says, I only care if I flourish. And we've got to realize that there are times that as a believer that we are responsible for the flourishing of all humanity. And if we choose not to stand in this responsibility, then God's judgment is going to come to God's house. I want y'all to understand that. The second thing I want us to understand is that God sends prophets. God sends us prophets and prophetic people before his wrath is poured out. He sends it before his wrath is executed in hopes that his people will repent and return back to him. You guys have heard the passage that says pride cometh before a fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. God sends us warning after warning after warning after warning, not because God enjoys being this God who gets to harm us, but because, again, we have turned our backs to what God has to say. So it is his hope. It is his hope that when Zedekiah hears what Jeremiah is saying, that he would repent. Remember, think about it, how he did Nineveh. Remember with Nineveh, he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh and tell Nineveh that this city is about to be destroyed unless you repent. And Jonah says, nah, player, I'm not going, because I know if I go, they're going to repent and you're not going to cast judgment. And so through the process, of course, Jonah goes, Nineveh repents, and what does God do? God doesn't destroy them. Over and over in the biblical story, we see that when we repent, that God says that I will take my hand off of judgment and I will let you continue to flourish the way that you have. But we have to remember that if we do not, then God is going to allow his judgment to come. Yeah, I know that's tight. Y'all, can I tell y'all something? So I love, like, God loves you. God's gonna bless you. Woo! I love that. This ain't what this is. I was like, Jesus, can I get another passage? I know. But we need, as they would say, it's tight, but it's right. Here is another thing that's interesting about this text. That too often when we read this text, we like to think that we are Jeremiah. We're good with being the person who's giving the judgment. We're fine being the person who gets to stand up and say, thus saith the Lord, judgment is coming upon your house if you don't repent. Like, well, that's cool. I'm all right with that. Leave me out of it, right? It ain't got nothing to do with me. Y'all better get it together. But what happens when you're Zedekiah? What happens if instead of posturing and positioning ourselves to be Josh, to be Jeremiah, we realize that there is a Zedekiah, there is a Judah in us, that there are parts of us that have hardened our hearts to God, and there are parts of us that have chosen to do wickedness and to oppress and to not allow the flourishing of all humanity, to say that I'm going to make myself a God and my way the way that God's way, instead of repenting and return and turning and doing things God's way. What happened when instead of being the person giving the judgment, we are the person that's receiving the judgment? What happens to that? Can we do that for a moment? Can we just think about, God, where are the places in my life and the spaces in my heart that I'm not doing what you want? And I'm not just talking about the big things either, because I know we could be like, well, no, I'm good. I give my tithes and I love God's people, and I don't have any slaves, so I'm good, and so I'm not oppressing anybody, and I don't control wages in my life, so I'm good there. there, and you know, but what about the homeless person? Let me just throw something out there. What about the homeless people that we drive by and look at and don't do anything, and 3 seconds later we can completely forget that they're there? What about the woman on our job who we know is making 70 cents on the dollar than what we make? And what about the children who don't have enough food to eat in our community? What about the overwhelming police brutality? What about the fact that in Grand Rapids, the average African-American family makes $23,000 a year, which is well below the poverty line? What about the things in our community that we can help and that we just ignore? Where are these hard places in our life that we just ignore because all of a sudden we think we're good? What happens when we are Zedekiah in our own life? The Bible says that we should repent. We should repent. We should repent. Repentance allows us to adjust our posture and stop God's judgment from destruction. So to repent does not mean to just be sorry, to say, whoops, my bad, I'm gonna try. No, but repentance says that I am going to make a complete 180 from what I am doing, from the thing that I am building, and I am going to do what God desires and what God wants and what God says in every area of my life. What does God tell Zedekiah? He says through Jeremiah, he says, I want you to deliver those who have been robbed from those who have oppressed, them. If you look that up in Hebrew, what he says is, I want you to snatch the things that the people who are in power have from them, and I want you to give it to those who are oppressed. I want you to be the example that says, I'm not going to allow or stand silent and watch my brothers and my sisters in pain and do nothing about it. I'm not going to see somebody crying and just say, oh, they'll be all right. But I'm going to get in. I need you to be involved with those who have been oppressed and take your power and use it to help somebody else be empowered. He then says, don't exploit or mistreat the resident foreigners or those who live in your land. Don't neglect the fatherless or the widows. What is he saying? He's saying that those who don't live like you, those who live amongst you but might not think like you, those who don't love like you, even if they're wrong, I want you to take care of them, and I want you to let them experience my love, because my love will make them right. He says that you are to guard them and to protect them. He's saying that you are supposed to take care of them just like you would take care of one of your very own. And then he says, don't kill the innocent people in your land. Don't have them kill the innocent people in your land. Don't use them and then all of a sudden do unjust. Don't have a prison system that gives unfair sentencing for some and giving not fair enough, in my opinion, for others. But be fair. Have the same weight and measures for everybody. And then he says, I want you to stop allowing people to take and use their labor to make you rich. Stop allowing people to work for free and while you get rich. Stop taxing people. Stop taxing people's bodies. Stop taxing people's money. Stop taxing people's life so that they can't flourish just so you can get a bigger house, Zedekiah. Yeah, I saw that. I saw how you made your house bigger at the expense of other people. I saw how you turned a blind eye because you said, hey, I got to worry about me and mine. And he saying that if you want the judgment of God to stop, then you got to stop using and abusing other people. Stopping God's judgment, here it is, stopping God's judgment in our lives is not a matter, let me go a little deeper, It's not a matter of acting right. It's a matter of being right. What do I mean? So we've mastered. Can we talking, right? We have mastered the masquerade, right? Like, I think if we were all honest this morning, before I came here, I made sure I shaved, even though I shaved yesterday. But I want to make sure there's not a hair out of place because, you know, I'm going to be on camera. So I got to make sure I'm good. And these people ain't going to be looking at me. We've mastered the phrases. I'm blessed of the Lord. How are you? Oh, I'm highly favored, my sister. How are you? Oh, God is so good to me. Amen. Yes, the Lord is kind. We've mastered all of that. So it's not a matter of acting right. It's a matter of being right. It's a matter of what is the condition of your heart. What is the condition of your thoughts? What is the condition of what you're looking at and what you're feeling? Do you feel bad when you see somebody hurting? That causes you to action? Is your heart hard towards the less fortunate? Are you seeing people who are in need and don't have this burning desire to want to help and to fix? Is your heart pliable or is it hard towards people? Joshua, the rabbi, Abraham Joshua Heschel, he says that the prophet not only must learn to see how man behaves, but also must learn to sense God's feeling. And what he's saying is that we have to, as kings and as prophets of God, have to position ourselves where we understand that what God's feeling is towards the oppressed and towards the needy and towards those the less fortunate, so that we place ourselves in the position and in the posture to be blessings to those who need to hear that there is a God who loves them and that there is a God who accepts them and that their current situation isn't their final destination, that there is something more and that there is something greater that the God of the Bible has for them, that they were born and bought with a price and that the blood of Jesus forgives them of all of their sins and unrighteousness. And because of that, they now have access to everything that belongs to God, that the earth is the Lord and the fullness of thereof and all of the world and they that dwell in it. People need to, is your heart in that position or is it, I just got to go and get my next promotion. I know that's, I mean, they'll be all right. They get some aid. They good. Where is your posture? Too often, one of the things that's interesting that I found about this text is in this text, Judah, it says, is like the seed of the Lebanon. It is, he paints this picture of beauty and says that right now you are a beautiful city. You are the envy of the world. Your economy is off the chain. People are coming to you from spices, for wood, for everything else in this region. And oftentimes, why that's important is because oftentimes we see something going good and thinking that it is good, when the reality is when we peel back the layers, we often find that there's a whole lot of ugly that's happening in order to make this good thing good. And so God is saying, guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to pull back the cover and I'm going to let the Babylonians, I'm going to come in and I am going to destroy this. And what once was a beautiful city will now become a desert, a place of ruin. You will be the laughing stock of the area. All of the other cities around you, the people in Detroit going to be like, what happened to Grand Rapids? Everybody, the people in Chicago going to be looking going, why did God do this? He loved Grand Rapids. Why did he do this to these people? All because we refuse to do the thing of God, which is to love people and to serve him with a soft heart. Yeah, God is not releasing. God, y'all, here it is. God is not releasing his judgment on Judah because of the sins of the world. God is releasing judgment on Judah because he is mad at how Judah is representing him. Contextually, God ain't mad because the world is sinning in this text. God is mad because the church is sinning. God is about to destroy them, not because everybody don't serve God. No, God is saying that the people who I have a covenant relationship with have turned away from me. And I just need to ask you the question, has your heart become hardened in any way that it has caused you to turn away from God? Unequivocally, God, I had to say yes. Have we put ourselves and placed ourselves on the throne of our own lives and made our wants and our desires and our opinions and the things that we love, do they put us in a place where we are overruling God? In the first chapter, in the first verse of this chapter, we probably missed it. It says that Jeremiah had to go down to get to Zedekiah. Jeremiah had to come down to come to Zedekiah. And why is that important? Because God is saying, I'm calling you, my brother and sister, to not live in the realm of kings, but to live in the realm above that, which is the realm of the King of Kings. I'm calling you to be a people that love me and represent me well, and that are willing to bow before me and say that I am going to live your way. How do you remember that? If it was a song, I hear the Lord saying, like Jeremiah, or like Michael, y'all know the prophet Michael Jackson, used to sing this song that says, "Do you remember how we fell in love? You were young and innocent. Do you remember how we used to talk? We would talk till dawn, and then we turn around and talk again till it got dark. Do you remember? Do you remember, Tabernacle? Do you remember, my brother and sister, what it was like when the only thing that we desired was the things that were of God? Do you remember when the only thing we wanted was that thing that pleased God? Do you remember the time when it didn't matter if I had, because I knew that God was going to provide? Do you remember when I would put down, y'all, we used to do some crazy stuff, tear off all of our secular CDs because we didn't even want to be in the presence of no bad music. We wouldn't go to, y'all didn't do that stuff. Okay, that's me. We didn't even go to, he's like, I didn't do that. Yeah, I threw away my Boys to Men CD. Jesus, we wouldn't go to secular movies because we were afraid that it would taint our relationship with God. Do you remember a time when more than money or fame or notoriety or anything, that all we wanted was God? And God is telling us through Judah that that's what I need you to return to. I need you to return to a place where the only thing that you know that you have to have is my presence. I need you to return to a place where you are willing to give up all things in order to have the one thing, which is a relationship with me. And when we do that, my brothers and sisters, what we do is we allow God to work in us and then work through us so that God's kingdom will be built. And we can stay the hand of God's judgment and of God's wrath. Do you remember what it was like to only want Jesus? Do you remember what it was like, as my brother Biz Markie would say, where we would say, "Oh, baby, you got what I need." Do you remember? Do you remember? Because that's where God desires to posture us today, so that we can do justice, so that we can be a people of mercy, so that we can reconcile those who are leaving or who have already left back to God. And if you wanted them, let me tell you this, that you will find no greater place or no greater love than in the presence of God. Now, we his people and we look crazy, but God ain't crazy. So don't you dare think that leaving the church and going someplace else is going to get you something better. It ain't going to happen. Been there, tried it, bought the book, got the t-shirt. It's not there. In the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. And if you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ, let me tell you this, that this same a thing that God wants to do in Judah, where he wants them to repent and return back to his commands, is the same thing that he wants for you. He wants you so bad that he sent his son to a cross, beaten, bruised, and didn't do anything wrong because he wanted to have a relationship with you. And it is through that act of what Jesus did, it is through that act of what Christ did for us that makes us right with God. We can't practice or fake it weak enough. Even in our best, the Bible says we're nothing more than filthy rags. But it is because of the blood of Jesus. It is because of what Jesus did on Calvary by taking away our guilt, taking away the penalty, taking away everything that we have done wrong and making us right. So if you don't have a relationship with Jesus, I invite you today to do it. And last but definitely not least, if hearing this, you say, God, I have identified in me some places, you've shown me by your Spirit, some places in me that are hard, and I want to repent. I want my heart of stone to be a heart of flesh. Then I want you to know that all you have to do is pray to the Lord and ask him to soften your heart and to begin to hear what the Spirit is saying to you. And I can promise you, don't be surprised when you're in the middle of doing something and he'd be like, hey, go talk to them, go help them, go do this. Because you have opened the door to your heart. And as soon as we open the door, the Spirit of God can come in. Let us stand. I promise y'all I wanted to shout today. Yeah. God, thank you.